What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
Like, I've been a very small person my whole life, but I do remember how much weight loss was a thing in the 90s. And I mean, probably for most of America, but like in the 90s with television and ads and, you know, what's his name?
Russell, Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
There were so many of those.
There were so many diets. There was like Jenny Atkins.
Everybody had Sidney a Craig. Everybody had a tape. Atkinson. Everybody had a DVD.
Yeah, it was like the California diet.
Yeah.
I mean,
Weight Watchers.
I was a little fluffy when I was younger.
Fluffy.
I was a little.
Gabriel Iglesias, shout out.
I was a little fluffy. Yeah, exactly. I saw a photo of me playing basketball, which I was terrible at, but I was like, oh, this brother is, he was different. He was differently sized than I am now.
My mom had Slim Fast, and I remember drinking it sometimes because I was like, oh, this is really tasty. It's like a milkshake. And then I was like, wait, I probably shouldn't be drinking this.
But it's so funny.
Remember Slim Fast?
I do. Man, they still, Slim Fast, Jenny Craig.
1-800 Weight Watchers.
Yeah, man. That stuff still exists. They still make protein bars and stuff. Like, I think weight is so interesting because there are people who are always trying to lose weight. Then, for me, I got like really skinny and my nickname was Schmeagle, which I think I've mentioned on here before, which was like, you know, very, very skinny. And it was like always a struggle to put on weight. But then also it was one of those things where I felt like the two sides never got along. Like the people who wanted to lose weight was like, man, fuck you. You already skinny. But then when you're like super, super small, you're like, no. I don't want to be this small. And it's just like a constant circle of just confusion about, you know, what is healthy, what isn't healthy. Yada, yada, yada. which is sad. So sad.
It is sad. It's just sad. And I remember thinking, I feel like in college, or I forgot when I started having stuff, but I remember like there was this perception of like people who were overweight, it was like their fault, you know? And it was so pervasive that I remember having the thought. I remember going to McDonald's one day and I saw somebody there who was like obese. And I remember having like the immediate thought in my mind of like, wow, like, what are you doing here? Like, you shouldn't be here. And then I was like, wait a minute. Why am I judging this person for eating food that I am about to eat? Like, it actually makes no sense. Like, I'm just lucky that I don't have genes that, you know what I mean? I'm like, we're eating the same food. We're eating the exact same food.
This is making me think about that woman, Suzanne Powder. Y'all remember her?
Suzanne Powder?
Powter, P-O-W-T-E-R. I remember my mom had the tapes.
Oh, Australian motivational speaker.
Yes.
No, I don't remember her, actually. What did
she do? She was one of the weight loss gurus.
Oh, okay.
Nutritionists.
What was her thing?
I don't remember. I mean, everyone had a tape. They all looked the same. You know, they were all wearing the spandex and moving. Like, that was like everything.
Like the jazzercise. Everyone had their own philosophy, you know. Some were the nutty professor. And I don't know.
Hey, James.
I'm gonna try to look it up. I'm gonna try to see, like, oh, what's up, Dra?
What you about to look up, James?
I was just gonna look up, like, because I wonder what her philosophy was. I'm sure there was something.
Yeah, you should look that up. Yeah, I felt like, yeah,
like
look that
made
up.
Her, you know, yeah. Like who, what her thing was.
Right, and was she just a nutritionist or was she a nutty professor?
I was trying to move
because you think about like all these people, like they have like they're like
he's still doing.
They're like, oh, like this is it. This is how you do it. You know what I mean? They speak with such conviction, and I'm like, did you get a PhD, or are you just the nutty professor?
Okay, we gotta get out of. How do we get out of this?
We gotta stop whatever's happening. You know what, James? I always feel like we want to leave. We should just pull his mic. Like, Melissa, can we
mute
him?
Say I was going to kill this bit? This bit's supposed to be
him
dead.
Off? Yeah, you said.
Yeah. Said yeah, can we just, Melissa, can we just, like, mute him from...
I thought, I don't know. How did this, how is it still happening? I don't even understand.
It hasn't stopped. Like, it literally
did you ever stop it?
I never stopped.
He promised to stop
never
it.
Stopped.
I stopped mine, though. Mine is dead.
Okay.
Yeah, mine is dead.
So can we start the show now?
All right, well, let's start the show.
Thank you. Great.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Jerome Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I'll toss this between the crack of your ass.
That's the one you
said. I think it is definitively my favorite quote from when I was a kid. There's a lot of great quotes in this, but that was the one that killed me. She takes the knife and she grabs it from the blade. It's so
they're like, that's, I remember her being, I remember not knowing what she was talking about when I was younger, be like, that's when only men that make me moist. And I was like, I remember like,
I don't want to hear that shit. Oh, that scene.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God.
For those of you listening to us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are a film review podcast. We review films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And there are three of us that co-host this podcast. You might be wondering, whose voice is who? Well, the voice that sounds like a scholar, a professor, you know, someone to be looked up to for their intellectual prowess, that voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Am I supposed to go after this? Is that what's happening? Is that
You are next. Yeah. Typically in the running order. Typically.
But you know, sometimes, James, when he does that, it just deflates any energy I have in my head. I just want to put my head down and go, why? Why am I here?
It's full of contempt.
This lost voice that is questioning everything, is that a Dra Milligan?
And I'm James the Third.
That's not how you sound, James. You've been deep voiced this whole time.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Did you say woo?
I said woo.
What is happening?
Okay. Wow.
I'm James the Third.
Wow. That's enough of that. We're reviewing the 1996 remake of The Nutty Professor, starring Eddie Murphy.
I am embarrassed to say I still haven't seen the first one.
Why are you embarrassed?
It's embarrassing.
Oh, the original.
Is it embarrassing?
Yeah. We should have seen it.
I mean,
comedians?
Fine, I guess, right?
I mean, I don't know. I saw the black one.
Was it super popular when it came out? Maybe, I guess. Jerry Lewis is popular. It made $19 million, the original.
I saw the black one, so I did my job.
Yeah, the original came out in 1963. It's the poster is ridiculous. Jerry Lewis looks insane. This film stars Eddie Murphy. It stars Jada Pinkett Smith. It stars
a young Chappelle.
A young Dave Chappelle. Who else is in this film? Larry Miller. That's about it. Honestly, that's all we have to say, really. Because Eddie Murphy plays six other characters.
Everybody.
So what else is there to say? This movie, it grossed $274 million.
Damn!
On a $54 million budget. Yeah, it also spawned a sequel, The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps. So it was very successful.
What was that even about? Like, I don't even remember.
The parents take the serum. That's the only thing I remember from it, is that, like...
Oh, so the parents get skinny?
Yeah, they take the serum, yeah. I don't remember if the whole family does, but they do. And not only that, though, I think they also, like, are young somehow, like, younger.
I remember Nutty Professor. I remember Janet Jackson was in that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember that movie, and I definitely saw it.
I did, too. I remember the music video, Nutty Professor 2.
Ratings are on Tomatoes, 64%, and then 44% audience score, which is interesting. It has 250,000 plus ratings. It's a lot.
What's the
somehow the audience score is 44%.
What for the original? But it made that much money.
Audience is 44, and then the critics is what?
Yeah, 64%, which is fresh. It's always hard looking at Rotten Tomatoes for movies that came out before Rotten Tomatoes was a thing. You know what I mean? What else is there to say? It's about a professor who is overweight. He likes a woman. He winds up creating, or he has a serum that he has been working on with guinea pigs that he wants to create to help people lose weight. He winds up taking the serum in a kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. He becomes a skinny version of himself called Buddy Love, that he names Buddy Love, that starts to maybe wreak havoc on his life. That's about it.
So I just watched the trailer for The Clumps.
That is about it.
No.
Yeah. don't even tell me.
It's like, you're right. I think James, you're right. It's like he makes youth formula, and like grandma's like, well, I might need some of that. It don't cure ugly. I would like to just take this fork and just, is the thing is, let's talk about it, man.
Well, let's talk about the original. Yeah, let's do initial thoughts.
I tried to watch this like last Thanksgiving, or maybe last Christmas. And I was watching with a friend. I was like, he wasn't enjoying it, and it was because like during COVID or whatever, he had put on some weight and was feeling like, and there were a lot of fat jokes at the top of the movie. And then I was like, oh man, is this movie problematic? So we cut it off. But watching it this time, I was like trying to watch it from our like 2020 lens to see like, if it's super sexist things, super like homophobic things, like, is it like fat shaming? And it's very interesting because I guess as a person who was a little fluffy at one point and now is not, like, I guess I didn't see it as that, but maybe that's because of my perspective, which I guess is a thing. But I still thought it was funny, to be truthfully honest. Like, when he was at home with the family, I thought it was funny. Like, I realized I didn't like skinny Eddie at all, really. He was like too obnoxious for me. But like, I liked every time we saw Sherman, because I thought they did such a good job, like really getting us to care about him. I also looked at the director, like, I also thought the director did so many good things with like adding visual jokes, like with the camera work, which I feel like people really don't do anymore. I feel like everyone's like, let me have funny dialogue, but like no one does funny stuff with the camera. And I'm like, oh no, this guy was definitely working, especially when the hamster scene up the very top. I thought Jada was underdeveloped a little bit, but also reminded me that I was in love with Jada for like all of my youth. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it. I don't know if you can make this movie now, but I enjoyed it, I think. I even feel bad for saying I enjoy it because of the 2022. Like, I don't know, but I laughed. Is that bad? I don't know. I don't know how I feel. Because I laughed. It's like, is that wrong? Bad? I don't know. I don't know.
What did I do? What have I done?
I'm confused. I don't know. I'm confused.
Yeah. I will just, because I'm sort of in the same boat, like, I do think that a lot of the jokes are, like, at the expense of his weight, although the message of the movie is, like, love yourself, right? So there's a lot of scenes and a lot of different POVs that help us get a positive perspective about being someone of being plus size, or I'm not sure what the appropriate term is, but being his weight, right, and being the weight of the family. I mean, can I say fat? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay to say fat? Okay,
yeah.
But like, you know,
I don't know.
Like,
is it?
But yeah, I think fat. I think, I mean, most people I know, like, they call they call models plus size models, but you know, I think fat is, at least I've had friends who've done sketches that talk, that we know that.
That's why I should cut off.
Yeah, so like, I think that the movie is trying to say, you know, love the skin you're in. Whose catchphrase is that? Love the skin you're in. One of the soaps.
Yeah, but it's like a soap commercial.
But then some of the times you're like, but I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh at this. You know, it has this feeling. A lot of things jumped out watching it now, though. That like, it's like there's so many hilarious moments in this. Like it's like so well written. Like that dinner scene. Like when it's just like. That first dinner scene is like so funny, and like, and we are actively getting this POV of like, I don't care, I'll eat whatever I want, I'll do this, that, and the other, which has other connotations of like, well, how healthy is it for you to eat all of that, you know? But he's just like I love who I am, and I love your mama, and I love this whole family, you know, and like, and embrace that, and you know, and that becomes a through line, like, yeah, like love yourself by the end of it, like all of that is great. And then the performances are, he's so good. And even though like those characters and like versions of those voices and things are things that we've heard him do in other, you know, like are like kind of stock characters that he brings so much to each one of them in a really nice, the scene with Dave Chappelle, like has all kinds of weird layers now watching it now, you know, especially because people talk about this movie as like a death of old school Eddie and like a
this
rebirth of who, yeah, this movie is deliberately a death of old school Eddie, you know, and like, and a revamping of like, of what his public image is going to be after this. And it sort of does become that if you look at his movies, you know.
Death as in this movie is the death, or that the death happened after this movie?
Like, this movie is literally, he kills Buddy Love in this movie. He kills
the R-rated Eddie.
That version of himself.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
He says that in one of his interviews.
Because he was doing really bad after this. Oh, because it makes sense, because he had a bunch of bombs before this movie. And it's so interesting because like he had, I think, Beverly Hills Cop 3 and like a couple other things in Metro and things that didn't work. And so it's so interesting that this is considered the death of Eddie Murphy, where like the old R-rated Eddie was making movies, but not, they weren't making 100 mil again. Whereas like this family version of Eddie gave him $200 and something million. So it's like, it almost felt like a transition to a, you know what I mean? It's like, but yeah.
Yeah. But then watching like old school Eddie beating up Dave Chappelle, you know, and thinking about who Dave Chappelle is now, like there was just a lot, it has like a different connotation now, you know, watching it now. Anyway, I still very much enjoyed this movie. I think that Eddie's performance as Sherman is so heartfelt and like, and so gentle. Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about it, you know, beat by beat in more nuanced ways.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009, and what are we in April, soon to be May, and I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide, and I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, yeah, like I said, I mean, I guess I was saying this off mic. I, you know, was slightly worried about this movie because I was like, oh man, like, how is this movie gonna hold up? What are these jokes gonna look like now in this lens? You know, I remember liking it as a kid, but I haven't seen it in a long time. I personally think it holds up really well. I think this movie is fantastic.
I was in the show. I didn't know where you were gonna go. I think this movie
is really good. And you know, I don't have the experience of being fat, you know, so like take that with what you will with a grain of salt. But like, I felt like the message that was underlying this entire film was almost it was like a satire. It was like skewering the public's perception of fat people because this is just what it was. And I think it's funny. Tessa and I were both kind of saying this, like, it's like this movie was a little bit ahead of its time because I wonder if people even understood, you know, what they were watching. But like, we'll get into it. Like the scene with, and I remember the scene with Dave Chappelle, like very vividly when I saw it, because it's, you know, when I first saw it, I just remembered it very vividly, and rewatching it, I was like, no wonder I remember it so much because it is an incredible scene. That is really, Eddie's looking at himself. He's looking at other comics. He's looking at just like America at the time, like just popular mainstream, you know, comedy, and like how much of it was just dunking on other people and being like, what is this? Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? And he really humanizes this character of Sherman in a way that like you feel for him so much. So I'm excited to like talk about it. Also, this movie is like, perfectly paced. It's like the exact amount of it's like an hour 35 minutes, you know, that's with credits. Like it's like, and you don't feel like it's not too long, it's not too short. It's like the scenes with him and his family are absolutely incredible, like him playing all the different family members. He like gives each of them like a very distinct characters that feel very familiar, you know. And like, yes, like there are some jokes that are, I guess, inherently like, oh, look, he's so big, you know, like he's knocking this thing over or whatever. But one, I bet if we watched the original Nutty Professor, which I think had less to do with weight and more to do with just like this guy was clumsy, but like Jerry Lewis plays him like he looks like he's autistic. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, a lot of issues with the portrayal of old school Nutty Professor.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so it's like the idea is like, oh, you know, you're taking somebody who society is looking down on, but then making them like a real human being. To your point, Gerard, I too was like, when Buddy Love first comes, I'm like, oh, this guy is way too much. I don't like him. And then it was like, oh, right, this movie really doesn't want me to like him.
Yeah. Don't even try.
The reason that we don't like him, the reason that he's such a bad dude is because he has too much testosterone, which
yes,
I also
say
thought
it.
Was hilarious.
And they say it.
There's like,
say it.
The testosterone levels are off the charts and he's a horrible human being because of it.
They definitely say it.
Which I think is really funny. And like, so, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, I think like the idea of actors in fat suits is really looked down upon today for like a reason that I totally understand. So probably because of that, this movie wouldn't be made today. But I mean, we've reviewed a lot of movies from the 90s and the 80s that like really don't hold up. And I actually think this one does pretty well, considering.
I mean, it's so funny because, yeah, you're right. I didn't know what to think of this. But when it opens, they make you like him so much. First off, the Eddie Murphy as Richard Simmons is fucking terrifying. Like that's the only prosthetic where I'm like, this is terrifying.
In the theater, I remember when I first saw it, I didn't realize it was him. That was one of the, like, they tricked me. Like, and now looking at it, I'm like, it's pretty obvious that it's him. But at the time, I didn't realize it until the credits at the end when they do all of the like gaffes and
he does such a great job of
he's so
like,
good
being a Simmons lookalike.
I think if you did this movie now, instead of being like just weight loss, it would honestly be like body augmentation. Like I feel like in the 90s people were so obsessed with like weight loss videos. Now there's so many people like getting plastic surgery, tummy tucks, like people with the BBLs, like dudes with the like dudes got like calf implants now. I think it would just be like a person who like tries to perfect themselves to become fucking Chris Hemsworth or something like that. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So it'd be that type of movie now. Actually, that'd be the way to do this movie.
That would work. That'd be great.
Yes, we just did it. We just did it. That's how you do this movie now.
That'd be great. I'd love that, actually.
That's how you do it.
So anyway, that's a series on...
Yep. That's a series on Disney Plus. Coming soon. Coming soon. Thank you. You heard it from us. No, but then after that, we kind of just see Sherman, right? Like, we see him start his day.
Well, there's the whole, like, gerbil, like, guinea pigs. Are, yeah, like,
right.
It's like... It's just pretty epic, like crazy.
I love the way this was shot.
They're like real gerb. We see actual creatures running around, and I remember it being gross as a kid, and it was still gross now. Like it still made me uncomfortable. Like when the gerbil lands in the woman's sandwich. I don't know, because I just start. It's in the sandwich. Just looking at her face.
It's so funny. Gerbils are so cute to me. Like they're so cute. Like, why people get mad at gerbils, man? All they want to do is just be cute. They don't live long.
Well, if you saw that many of them at the same time, it's pretty. They are rodents at the end of the day.
And then when the one poops in the guy's coffee, man.
Oh, God.
Man.
That's funny, though.
I mean, I will say what's so good about that scene is that, like, the director frames so many gerbils. And then, like, when Sherman finally shows up, like, Eddie is acting his ass off. Like, every 5 seconds, he's, like, looking in a different direction, moving his glasses, looking in another direction. And it's like, yo, bro, ain't nobody looking this hard at anything ever. But when that gerbil shot out and got in that woman's mouth and she fell over, I was like, Lord have mercy. This is insane. And I don't know if y'all noticed it.
There's a car crash and, like,
bro, it does so much. But what makes me laugh at it is that when it went in her mouth, I don't know why I noticed this. But like the legs, like the back legs are out and the back legs move a little bit.
Yeah. It's gross.
I'm like, what is this?
It's gross.
Oh, man. And then he goes inside.
But I love this. Yeah, but I love, like, very, to Bray's point of like the pace of the movie, like really gets out like what's happening. Like, okay, he's testing like the weight of these gerbils, and there's one gerbil that is very overweight, and they happen to like it's this ridiculous gerbil puppet.
It's hilarious
that they have actually for as big as it looks, decreased its weight by like 20%, and so you know, we get that before he even goes to talk to the dean or whoever Larry Miller's character. Yeah, Dean.
Larry Miller plays Dean Richmond, and he was so good in this role.
Dude,
oh my God.
He's always good. I just watched 10 Things I Hate About You recently, and I was like, he's good in this. Like, he's always like so good. Yeah, and that thing just poops right in this drink. Poop right in this drink, man. Good goodness. I will say, when he gets to class and he's writing on the board and he's erasing it, and he's like, oh, I messed myself. It was something that was so earnest about Eddie's performance at him.
Because
you realize, and it's so funny, I know people are making bigger jokes. I know we can say the word. It still freaks me out. I don't know if I can, you know. But, like, people making bigger jokes. And it's so interesting because you could always tell that Eddie never thought the joke was about this guy's weight. Like, at no point did he ever think that. And so anytime he did something, it just was like so beautiful and so like sad. And like, he was such a human. So much so that when he's like, oh, I messed myself, I was like, oh man, I feel so bad this happened in front of these college kids. And then Jada shows up.
Yeah, because he was also like, for as much as Sherman is like actively trying to change his, the nature of being heavyset, right? Like, he's like, I don't want this to happen to people. Like, I want to just eliminate this in people. He also just very much is like, yep, I am this way, and I've been this way my whole life. And so there isn't any like, oh no, I'm fat. You know, it's like, it's just like, yep, I wiped off the thing, and now I've knocked the thing over. Okay, yeah, I've been sort of dealing with this, you know, it's normal for him, you know.
I just really, really liked how human that was. And then even when, like, Jada shows up, looking all Jada-like, man. Looking all Jada.
Is this peak Jada? Is this,
yo, bro,
is
for
this
me,
peak? When she walked out, I was like, this is peak Jada, bro, baby.
This, like, there was, like, yo, look, man. We got, get these black women. Yo, Jada now, the fact that Jada, this is what, 96? Still looks as bad now as she did in 96. Don't bring up the mom. I saw this, I was like, Lord have mercy, what? And then when the Flintstones came out, what, the year before this, and Halle Berry still, yo, these black women, I don't, what was that? They mean they were born in the 70s? Whatever that decade was that these women were birthed.
Whatever these women were born, something was happening. I don't know what it was, but it was happening.
Give them their flowers, okay? The beauty that this black woman had, and she's just standing there, and like the innocence and the kindness, and like, I love a meet cute, all right? I love a good meet cute. We talk about my, I love it, like, he upside down, kind of embarrassed, and she was so genuine to him. Oh.
Wait, the first joke that I wasn't sure if I was allowed to laugh at actually happened right before this, when he takes out the Snickers and he takes a bite and the music swells. I was like, hold on, wait, can I laugh at this? Like, it was, you know, because he was having his break. He was having his Snickers break.
And he was just made fun of by a classroom of students. And he was like eating for comfort, which is
help me
very
feel better
relatable.
About this.
We all eat for comfort.
To me, it wasn't about. It wasn't supposed to be laughing at like, look at this fat dude eating a Snickers. It was supposed to be like, if anything, it was like kind of. It was just like, oh man, like he has such shame about, you know, eating a comfort food, a joy. Because he knows the perception that people have of him.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
He like looks around before he takes a bite.
He's literally full of shame. He's looking around. He's like, and when Jada comes in, he's like, oh, he throws it in the trash. Like, he doesn't want anybody to see him eating a Snickers.
Yeah.
Oh. Snickers. Why can't he eat a Snickers?
And it's,
you know,
so
what I mean?
Good. Like, Snickers is one of the best candy bars because it's so filling. That's the beauty of the Snicker.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad. Man, I felt so bad for him. And then, like, is after this, is after he meets Jada, is that when he goes home to his family?
I feel like the answer is yes.
I just watched this, and I'm like,
I feel like the answer is yes. This scene, let me tell you, my goodness, incredible. Incredible scene.
Bruh.
It's so good.
Bruh. Everything about this scene was phenomenal to me. It's like, first off, this mom is so cute, and my mom acts like this, and I keep forgetting how much stuff was in my vocabulary. It's like, Hercules, Hercules. Like, we used to say that all the time.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. This scene was so good. Okay, this is a sidebar, but I have to say it. So I have always been worried about being jealous of my child. Like, oh my God, what if my child does what I do better than me? But watching Eddie do this made me go, man, if my daughter was interested in character acting, I hope she exceeds beyond the, like, watching that made me, I don't know what that is or what that feeling is as a parent, but I was like, wow, it made me excited about what being an actor could be. Like, I don't know. It was a really strange feeling.
No, that's beautiful.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Jean Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ki Hoi Kwan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Liu, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
It's so interesting because I've had that thought. I don't have kids, but I've had that thought too of like, oh man, if I had to like have a kid, my kid did what I couldn't do. Because that's sometimes you hear about actors and it's like, oh yeah, my mom used to be one and they like made me act at like two. But it's so interesting because as we're seeing the whole family, yeah, James, you're a character person. It's so interesting because every single one of them sat different. Everyone spoke different. I mean, the uncle who was there and he was like, you overweight. I'm strong. Like you're talking about how he's in the gym. Like the unbeknownst fighting between like the dad and like I'm assuming as Eddie's mom, the grandma. Like yeah, I just want to take this fork and I just want to stab. Like, I was
like, come on, Clayton. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. What you go? Come on.
Walk over. Tell me, limp it back.
Walk on over here. You can walk on over here, but you're gonna limp back.
See, the way she there's a scene where a part of this scene where she's just naming talk show hosts. Ricky Lay, Mari.
Yo, Donahue, the only man to get me wet. I was like, yo, this
is literally my grandma. Literally my grandma on screen. An incredible performance.
What also is so fun about this is
it's so good.
It's like he is so funny.
It's the best. I think it's the best. I think it's best. Like as much as I love Coming to America the movie. I think this scene is better than the Coming to America barbershop scene.
I don't because yeah. Everyone has a joke.
The characters are so good.
Yeah. Like, why do you keep saying that? Like the mom that mom reminds me of my mom so much. Why do you keep saying, Sherman, what's wrong with you, Sherman? Sherman, look at him. Do it again. Do it again. You want your colon cleanse? I'm a clean. Like, it's every also this is 1996. He's playing five characters at a table.
Yeah.
Like 1996, yo. And it's seamless.
And they do those wide shots where we see all of them too. And it looks seamless. Like it's really, it doesn't even looking at it now, you don't like, there's a lot of things like that where you like can see, you know, you see the seams, you see the wires, you see the whatever, you know, but like in this, it's like, it literally just looks like they're all sitting at that table. It's crazy.
It's beautiful. Just beautiful.
It's so good. Oh, and in this scene, Sherman's saying things like, he says something to the effect of like, this, you know, like a lot of people think it's just exercise, but it's actually like studies have shown like, you know, it's genetic, like, you know, like I'm always going to be always going to be overweight, but like, you know, we should like, you know, and then he's like talking about the skin. He's like, a lot of the fat is in the skin of the chicken. Like, you just eat the meat. And they're just like, what are you talking about? Like, shut up.
Yeah, they literally like,
why does everyone want to lose weight?
It's very real. It's a very, it was like, for as shut funny up. As everything was, it's like, this, these are real conversations. That
real conversations that happen around the dinner table. Yes.
Still.
I do love that they were basically eating a Thanksgiving meal, like pretty much every.
Every time we see them, they're eating like Thanksgiving. Every time we see them, it is a Thanksgiving meal. What a
glorious house.
But you know what, to be truthfully honest, it's so fascinating. It's like, when my aunt, my mom's aunt, was younger, anytime you went to the house on Sunday, it was this soul food kind of like dinner. It was huge. I mean, it got even bigger when Thanksgiving came, but like every Sunday it was like mac and cheese. You had like this stuff. And it's like, I mean, it's so funny because when he leaves, what was so beautiful about this movie is that we spend so much time with Sherman without like, they prolong when Buddy comes into the movie. Like, it's a minute. They prolong so you really, really feel we're dropped into Sherman's world. And I think the beauty of this is, and I think two things. I think Eddie Murphy is so funny, but also I think the way comedies work now, because we talk about it on this podcast, I'm very fascinated about like how comedies do in movies, is like they trust that Eddie will be funny enough to like not hit you with the plot so fast. Like, they prolong the conflict so fucking fast, like so long. I think we don't even see the date with Chappelle in it, maybe for like 20 something plus minutes to like really show you, hey man, this dude's in love. And then when you see like when he finally asks her out, it's so cute.
Oh, it's sad.
It's so
he goes, he literally goes, so long. He's like trying to say it. And then she says, are you asking me out on a date? And he goes, yeah. And like, he's like,
he looks down.
Like, he feels like, he's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am. And she's like, I'd love to. And he's like,
What's so gnarly about it? What's so gnarly is that he looked up her address from the school registrar or something and just showed up at her house. I was like, hey, bruh, this ain't never working in real life. But you know what? Him singing, I got me. I used to say that shit. My very first date, I went to see The Princess Diaries. And I remember when I got the date and I knew it was a date, I remember saying, I got me a date. It's going to be so great. I remember saying the thing. And that movie was out for like 8 years before I went on, 10 years before I went on a date. I was like, Lord have mercy. It's going to be so great. Great, great, great. Come great, on,
great,
man.
Great. Oh, I can't hardly awesome. Wait.
And then when he gets back to the house and starts singing, he starts singing Teddy Pendergrass. Man. Then he gets his montage of like trying to like lose weight for the day.
Well, sequence. Did the montage happen after the Dave Chappelle stuff?
No, it happened before.
Because it's like him getting ready to go to the date.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So it happened after he gets back to the house and he's like singing Teddy Pendergrass. And then he watches a video. Yes, I can. And then he starts like doing a montage of like losing weight. And it was so fucking cute.
He has the dream. I think this is this after the dream?
Oh, it is after the dream.
The dream when he like kisses the woman.
He has a nightmare that, yeah, he's like, they're kissing on the seat. Oh, right. Because he's falling asleep to television, and it was like a movie. I don't know if it's like a James Bond movie or whatever, but it's like, so he sees himself, pictures himself in the movie with Jada, and he's like kissing her on the sand, and then he's on top of her, and then she starts sinking into the sand. And the thing is, see, this is why I like, because like the humor is not coming from the fact that like, it's not like, haha, he's so fat that he's sinking here. It's like, oh my goodness, like, this is so ridiculous, but this is his nightmare. Like, this is what he's afraid of. You know what I mean? This is his nightmare. And then you're right. Yeah. Then he goes on this montage of like, I'm going to lose this weight, you know?
I think it's so beautiful.
Must be extremely fast too. It's like, it must be like 2 days, right? Like in 2 days, he's like, the first day he can barely jump over he cannot do the jump rope. And then the next day he's faster than the guy next.
I will say the thing that I love so much is that when he's in the aerobics class or whatever, and he can't do the exercise. And then when he finally gets it, everyone is cheering him on. And then after that, he's like, then he's like bouncing and he runs up and does the Rocky. So proud. And the thing is, they have so many shots of just like his face. Like even, I know I skipped it, but like when he's at the house after the date singing Teddy Pendergrass, there's a shot from in the microwave as he's like microwaving his TV dinner and he's so happy. And it, what sucks about it is I didn't remember this movie, but as we were getting to the date and I realized the Chappelle scene was coming and I was like, oh no, it just.
I remember it the most. That scene is the scene that I remember the most. And he comes out. I mean, he looks ridiculous. Like, also, the character that Dave Chappelle plays in this is perfect. You know, he's just like, he looks ridiculous. He's got the, like,
he's wearing one of those big hats. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's so nice. He's
got his boxers up and he's just like, eh. And then all his whole, like, his first joke is like, women be shopping. They always shopping. They women be shopping. The hilarious moment of Sherman. You can't stop a woman from shopping. And this hilarious moment of Sherman looking over to Jada and going like, women do be shopping. And she's like, it's true. Yeah.
It's so crazy. Also, the beauty of this, and I wish, I'm not going to say names, but I think people don't give Eddie Murphy enough credit because Eddie used to put like...
Who are the names? What are you...
No, what I mean by it is like Eddie would put like a black comedian like, oh, this person's funny in the movie. And like maybe not in the big part, but a prominent one like Beverly Hills Cop. There is no reason for that exchange with Chris Rock as a goddamn valet. It is long. It is not needed, but it's like, yo, you fun and putting you in this movie. Like the fact that we have these
Damon Wayans also. You go ahead. You take the banana.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Like, he like, was a what, dude who gave back. And it's just funny. It is just funny. Nothing else. So I do love that we had this scene. I love that it was with Chappelle. But it's like, I felt so bad. And then you can see the... First off, what is so interesting is that even with all those prosthetics, to me, Eddie is acting his goddamn ass off, yo.
Like, I mean, he's at... It's mask work. It's all that. He's, like, acting... through the costume, you really see it and feel him in this.
Oh man, his fucking
and it's
art.
Like, and I love
he sees
that,
it coming and he tries to get yeah. away.
Oh yeah. Goodness, once he, and it takes him a little too long to notice, you know, like it's like it's like literally going down the line. It's like, if you don't get out of here, you're too close.
And I like that they show the other people who are getting made fun of, like they're kind of like taking it, but they're also like
hurt.
They're also hurt, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, this sucks.
But it's also just like, her hair's big. Like, that dude doesn't know what a weave is. It's like, what do you do?
A white
doing?
Dude don't know what a weave is. Look at it. She got more extensions than AT&T. Which is a funny diss.
Yo, comedy, stand-up scenes and movies are so hard, but both of them were so funny. Like, when Chappelle has his and then Eddie has his later, it's just like, I remember quoting this as a kid, yo. Like, oh
yes, I had captions on this time, and so I'm normally just sad and upset when it gets to the first of all, when he goes, oh, he's with a woman too, and then Jada has that look up, that look has been burned in my brain since 1996. Like, it's with a woman, that look, it's like you just feel her seethe at him. Okay, love it, it's incredible. But then I had the captions on, and so normally I'm just sad at that part, but I was like, oh my God, the stuff he's saying as the music is swelling is like crazy. I guess we know, this is the one I hadn't heard, is I guess we know who's eating Gilbert Grape. Why was that one of the...
Oh my God.
I guess we know what... Oh, it was... I can't believe it. The fact that that comic, also thinking that that comic knows that movie, and like, it's
he knows the Oscar fucking Leonardo DiCaprio starring What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh shit.
He also makes fun of Jada. He's because he's like, who's sucking whose titties? And then like Jada does this thing where she covers herself. And I was like, oh man, she's feeling self-conscious. Yeah, it's, and he's just so hurt. Everybody's laughing. He's, you know, because he's like, oh yeah, you got me, that's good, like, let's move on. He's like, oh, I definitely don't got you, like, I can get you.
James, did you see this cameo? I was expecting you to bring it up by now.
Maybe not. Which one?
So this, Bree, you may not know this.
Oh yes, super, oh my God, super, Diggle's in this.
The super geeky. Yeah, there's a dude from yes. Arrow, who's like, when he walks into the club and he's like, Professor, what you doing here?
I'm on a date. I couldn't believe it.
He's just
wait,
skinny.
That's
and
the
young.
Guy who's in most of the movie, isn't he?
No. Oh, it's just he runs into just another student.
Oh, got it.
Who
oh,
has like
the black
three
dude.
Lines. Yeah. The black yeah. dude, yeah. And he's in the Arrowverse. I lost it when I saw him. I couldn't believe it. That was my first time.
Look at you, young and just working. Shit,
dude, that makes me feel good because that was 1996. And when did Arrow come out,
bro? Like, James, we lived together. What was that? 2000.
Yeah, it's been in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, gives hope.
But still, like a good amount of time in between those.
Yeah,
right?
Like 15 years before.
15 years,
before,
right?
Yeah.
Look at that. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. I like that.
To make you feel
that
even
makes me
better.
Feel very good.
Make you feel even better. I was watching this doc, which I'm gonna plug it because we don't do docs on Netflix right now. It's a documentary called "Is That Black Enough for You?" And it talks about black films in the '70s. They have Zendaya, Whoopi Goldberg, Sam Jackson, all these people talk about how. Oh my God, what is his name? Morgan Freeman. Is in this very famous movie. He's in the background. He's an extra with no lines. And he did not get a speaking line in the movie until 20 or 22 years later. And it just saying, it's like 20, I think maybe 22 years later when he got his first actual speaking role. He was a background actor in Sidney Poitier movie. But yeah, anyway, just talking about length of time. So you get Chappelle, you get this moment. He leaves. He goes back home. He starts like binge eating again. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to do something. He locks himself in the room. And this is how it always happens. This is how all the movies always happen. Where it's like, it's never been tested on a human. Fuck it. I got to test it on myself. I got to know. And when he becomes skinny, the only time I liked Buddy is when Buddy first woke up and was like super hyped. When he was like, I can see my cheekbones. I can see my cheekbones. I see my dick. I see my dick. I can see my dick. And he's just so excited about it. Was like seeing a child get birthed. He was so excited about everything.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Every time I see this, I just can't believe that he's running through campus, clearly wearing Sherman's clothes, And there's not a single person from the lab that sees it and goes, hold on, what is this? No one questions it. You wouldn't think that it's they're the same person, but he's obviously wearing his clothes though, you know, like it's weird.
But I think he's running. Nobody's giving it enough. Paying enough attention to, but yeah, this is skipping too far ahead because he gets a date with Jada. Because I was going to say the one time I do like Buddy, I kind of like him. He goes too far, but is when he gets back at, you know, the Dave Chappelle character, and he says something to the extent of like first of all, he's just laughing like. He's laughing every time he's saying it. He's doing the hardest laugh, like,
you next up.
And he's like, what are you? All right, can you maybe wait for the punchline? And he's just like, it's just like, you're so funny. It's so funny. It's so clever what you do. You just take people's little insecurities and their defaults and you flip them and you just make fun of them for it. It's so funny.
Yes.
I was like, that is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Then he goes like, anyone could do it. He's like, I could do it to you.
I can do it to you. That, and to me, I'm looking at that, I'm like, that's 2022 humor. You know what I mean? Like in a done in a brilliant way. Like, and like he just roasts this guy.
And what I also like about where that builds to is like when they get to fat jokes, it's like, oh, like this is everything he's been hearing his whole life.
Exactly. He and knows them all.
Throwing yes. it. He's just and so it's this thing of like of you see this sort of like he's very victorious in this way, while also at the same time it's this tragic. It's like it's very so tragic yeah. that he's been hearing that all this time, you know.
And then what is even more sad, is at the end, but whatever. I just want to say it. It's like when he goes, I thought everyone wanted me to be like Buddy. Like, that's what I always thought my whole life. I was supposed to be like that. Like skinny, like I guess obnoxious, like hella confident. Which is so fascinating, even thinking about things now where, you know, even me as a millennial versus like my little cousins who are Gen Zers, it's like we all look at Instagram and we all see different things. Like, I may be looking at people's career and I'm like, fuck. Whereas my little cousins are looking at people like physically and being like, oh man, how does this person look like that? How do I look like this? It's just such a weird thing. And we just keep doing the exact same thing just in different ways. And this movie came out in 96. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really think you can remake it. Now Disney Plus, they listen.
I heard of dreadlocks, but shitlocks. That's also one.
Oh, man.
In that scene. Bruh. Heard of dreadlocks, but shitlocks?
Oh, you done fucked up now. You done fucked up now. Like, he starts doing this shit. While I was doing his kung fu. He starts doing his little kung fu moves. I was like, oh, my goodness. What the hell is this? It was so good. But then it's so funny because once I didn't realize that it was time limited. So when his lip starts getting big and shit. And he's like, oh, I got to get me some Benadryl. I need some Benadryl. And he leaves her. I don't know. It's so interesting, man. It felt like the Superman and Clark Kent thing of Buddy being so cool. And
yeah. And this was great. The way that Jason finds out is really cool. Like, oh, weird. That guy shouldn't have his credit card. And then he gets,
that's not, yeah, the, exactly.
Gets in the car
gets in
with
the
him.
Guy's car. I know.
That's yeah, very, very bold. But he's like, you know, that's his character. You know, he loves, he wants to stand up for Professor Clump, you know. And then there's just this weird, like, Dr. Jekyll, like, weird transformation happening in the car. And Jason just screaming the whole time.
Loves it. Like, when he first sees his lip, he's like, oh, God, okay, maybe you need the money more than I thought.
That's right, because he put the Viper. First off, they said this Viper only costs $47,000. That's it for that Viper. That's it. But he put it on like his school credit card.
1996, man.
Bruh. 47,000. They even make Vipers. I was obsessed with Vipers when I was younger. But like, I felt bad because at one point the cops go, we haven't had to do this outside of a crash before. And they're like cutting open the roof.
Jaws of life. Yeah.
Man. Is that what that machine is called? Like the Jaws of
life. Yeah, the Jaws of life. And then we get right away, like, you know, because there's now someone else looking at this, Jason starts to give the stakes. He's like, hold on, that guy was really mean. Like, and also his testosterone levels are off the charts. Like, and I love that he's like, was it an accident? You know, like not thinking that someone would willingly do this. You know, they're not at test. They're not at the test stage yet.
Yeah, anyway. He's like, why? Like, we had so many positive results with the guinea pigs. You didn't need to do this on yourself. And he's like, and he admits it pretty quickly. He's like, yeah, it's not why I did it. I like this person. And he's like, well, why don't you just tell her that you like her? Like, you don't need to do this. And that's when he does. He like says that, and she's like, yeah, but like. He like says it in this way. She's like, well, yeah, I do guess I kind of like Buddy. And, but like, I don't know. He disappeared on me and maybe he's not, doesn't like me. And then he's like, oh no, like you should see him again. I think that really happens after he takes her to dinner, which was a mistake, like an obvious mistake. It was like, what are you doing taking your, you've never taken a girl home, clearly. And it's funny. It's both outlandish and also feels so real that they, you know what I mean, are like immediately talking about like, do you like kids? You know, like, hey, you know, if you get married, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, but you have to take care of him. Like, you know, somebody has to feed him, like all this stuff. You're just like, oh, my God.
The whole time Sherman is like using the butter knife to either want to stab someone in the family or stab himself. He's like putting the knife at his wrist, like, actually trying to.
Yeah,
do
he's
it.
Literally. Like...
Have y'all had those moments, man? I remember bringing like a woman to a cookout once, bruh. When I say, oh hell, bro, it was like everybody was fucking funny. Everybody was funny today. Everybody had jokes today. And I'm like, oh, now y'all niggas comedians? And then the moment I tried to like call my come out of my cousin, he was like, oh, so you trying to show off? I'm like, you mother.
When I brought Tessa to meet my family, this is my mom's side of the family. she literally like after like the thing was like, does your family not like you? And I was like, what? Why are you saying that? She was like, they were all being mean to you. And I was like, oh, that's them showing love. Like, because like when she came there, they were like, oh, wow. Like, how did he trick you? You know, like,
yep,
like you know, like asshole. They said all that. Like, it was just like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, John, okay. Well, we know who the good looking one is, you know, like, and I was like, no, they're trying to just compliment you. And the way that they know how to do that is putting me
down. Yo, why? Why does that happen, man? It's like,
my family loves me, so I didn't have any.
Wow. Okay.
James, were you also the one with cable? Was it you?
I beat that.
Wait, were you the one with cable, James? I remember like
one of. I didn't have cable. I did have cable.
You are the one.
You are the one with cable. You had cable, and your family never made fun of you, huh? Bruh. Great.
Bruh. You make me feel bad for
this shit now that my family brings up. Not that they can make fun of me for it, but the fact that they used to make fun. Like, I'd be chilling. They're like, yeah. Remember when you had those big ass ears out of nowhere? Like, they can't say it now. They're like, yeah, you walk around like Bobby's World. Big ears, size 11 shoe at 11. You was a weirdo. Just casual conversation.
I think it's mostly because what would happen is, because it's not like my family wouldn't rib each other. It's that I was so afraid of it that I would repel, like I would run away from, you know what I mean? So like, because I didn't, you know, step to it, you know, they were like, okay, you probably can't take, you know, they knew, they didn't dish it because they know I couldn't take it.
That's funny.
I get
that's
that. Real. I was like, man, these motherfuckers. I'm still mad. I just got mad now thinking about it.
But yeah, he's so embarrassed. He's so embarrassed by his family. And like, Jada actually was like, you know, like didn't even take it that bad, but he's just so embarrassed and so ashamed that he's just like, oh, yeah, like, oh, you know what? You should get back with Buddy and I'll talk to him and I'll make sure, you know. And she's like, oh, thanks for being such a good friend. And he's like,
ah, bro, I've done this to myself. Y'all. Oh, I was dying for him. I was like, why are you?
Well, it's only been a few days. They've only really known each other for a couple.
What I'm saying, he knew.
I mean, he asked her out on a date, like, almost immediately.
Because he knew. That's what I'm saying. But he knew from the moment he met her, he's like, yo, this is the one for me. And he asked her out, and then when it didn't work out, he friend-zoned himself. And then it's like, bruh, because I get that fear. And I look at me, I've done it. I have done it myself. And outside of my body, I'm like, what are you doing, nigga? And I just did it. I was hurting for him, man. I was hurting. Also because Buddy was so obnoxious. Buddy was such a dick. Because didn't Buddy try to take him, remember he asked her out again and tried to take her immediately to like his bedroom? Like immediately.
Yeah, he also like makes fun of Sherman every chance he gets for no reason.
And it gets worse each time we see him. And like, and he's just a full-on villain. Like he's just instantly a villain in a way that is, I don't know. I loved every second of it.
He really is, yeah. And yeah, I think this is, so he takes her to the hotel. There is this whole thing where Sherman was supposed to do this presentation for a donor, potential donor, alumni. And he does that and like, in doing that, he's like making fun of all these other people who are overweight, like in this restaurant.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Tank Ass ended up being, was the one that he ended up using more. So like Tank, everything, he had a unique description for being overweight every time, except Tank Ass. That is used 3 times in the film, in case anyone was wondering. In case anyone took a tally.
Oh, I did not notice that though. But didn't he saw a woman?
In case anyone knows.
When he saw a woman with a nice ass, and he was like, "Oh man, it's a nice ass table. Everybody here got nice ass."
Is this the nice ass section? He turns around to the. Is this the nice ass section? Oh, I guffawed. It was so.
Oh
funny.
My goodness, man! He was smooth.
Everybody got nice ass at this table. First of all, he's also looking at their faces and saying they have nice asses, which is. Rude, I think. Also,
sometimes you know? I don't know, man. They got them songs. Sometimes you can see it from the front. That's what Doja Cat told me. You know what I mean?
They're sitting down.
He knew. He knew. Who am I to question? He knew. Yeah. And then after this, Jada hears the women talking about Buddy in the bathroom.
Yeah, and how he can handle all three of them. You know, and so she storms out and he's like, whatever, I just thought I'd bring some friends, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's enough parties. Love for everybody.
Then he parties with all of them.
I had 2 titties, now I got 6. That's multiplication.
What's so interesting, because you think about it, this dude is the repressed side of Sherman, so he's never had sex. Like, Sherman's probably a virgin. Like, this dude now is in shape, he's not being made fun of, so he just goes fucking buck wild. When he made a tape.
The video.
When he the made video. The video.
He ain't need to do that. He ain't need to make the video. You know you can get arrested at 56 for the shit you just did last night. Then the women crawl over him and blow kisses into the camera in lingerie.
And then he goes, oh, God.
Furious. How dare my alter ego do that to me?
Because you're imagining, like, let me in. Let me in. Like, my gosh, man. Fucking loved it.
Arrested in 50 states.
Like, all of them. Like, all the states?
What did he do last night?
Like, Lord have mercy.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man, I felt so bad. Because I was like, how does this happen again? I forgot that, like, he tries to pour out all the stuff, but then Buddy was smart enough to put it in his protein shakes. Bruh.
Or his little, like, weight loss shake, yeah.
It's really good. It's because right before this, Jada leaves him because she goes to his house and the house is in disarray after the party that Buddy Love had, you know, sees the girls, thinks that she's a part of some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you using me? Are you both passing? I'm next, right? Or whatever. Oh. Ugh. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to go back to normal. I'm going to pour out all of this serum and I'm going to get the grant, you know? Ugh. It's so sad.
Yeah, and then there's this final showdown at the benefit where Buddy Love is supposed to go there and demonstrate how the equation or the serum kind of works, gets there, is the most obnoxious human being on the face of the planet. Just the most obnoxious, like,
takes the plate.
Oh, gross, like, slaps the freaking tray out of the waiter.
He grinds on an elderly woman who's just there. He goes, I felt you tingling.
Yeah, what? You liked it. Yeah. Oh, God. I love it, because this at this point his testosterone is at like 6,000%, whatever that means.
It's dangerous levels. It's dangerous levels. He explains right before this, too, that, like, you know, he's going to take a dangerous amount of the serum. But if he does half now and half later, everything's going to be fine. So it's just like, without there being any, he's like, there's going to be no issues. I'm going to take half now, half later, everything's going to be fine, you know. And so we just have to stop him before he takes the other half.
And he says, like, he's going to kill Sherman, and the parents are there. And the parents are like, oh, good thing I brought my knife. And she's like, I got my razors.
Hold on, what the hell?
What's interesting is that Eddie Murphy does some of the best acting. When he is playing Buddy and Sherman fighting for the body, and he's just like smacking himself and it's going in and out of the voices, because you know in real life it's just Eddie, like just regular ass Eddie, just going through all this. And when you think about that scene, is Eddie doing that with himself? But then we keep cutting back to like Eddie as a mom and Eddie as a dad, all commenting on what the Eddie on stage is doing. That's, bro. Yeah.
It didn't hit me until this time, too. Like, that, like, yeah, the way they shot that transformation, it is just him standing alone and, like, having control over, like, which side of him is Sherman, which side of him is Buddy Love, and shifting his voice, you know, in a way that, like, if you saw someone do that in a solo show on stage, you might be like, this is a little hokey, you know, you might have that feeling about it. But I don't know, like, it was so, you know, obviously helped by the CGI or whatever, but, like, he's so in control of his instrument. It's incredible. And the mom keeps fading, and the dad's like, I can keep pick your ass up all night, shit. At first he was concerned, but then she did it.
But I love that they kept looking at it just being like, this is, what did he say? Like, this is some scary shit.
Yeah, this is some scary shit.
Somebody call an exorcist.
Because it really is. It's like, it's freaking, it's crazy. Like, could you imagine them looking at this person just going, blah, 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 blah.
And it's like, your son, he's trying to kill your son.
You're like, Sherman, get back here. Sherman.
But the beauty of it is that Sherman just goes, yes, I can. I was like, because he is literally like, I'm going to kill you, Sherman. No, Sherman. No, Sherman. And he's, Buddy is screaming. And then when he gives his speech.
No matter what, you got to strut. So good.
Yeah. When Sherman comes back and tells everybody what he did, the thing that's so interesting about it is that I think anybody in his position would do it. You know what I mean? Like, anybody who's been made fun of Sherman, I think he's 35, 36, his entire life he's been made fun of for his weight. Like, his boss calls him fat multiple times. I'm like, anybody would have did what he did. You know what I mean? I don't know. If you were like...
Yeah, I actually imagined a scene...
4'2", you want to be tall. Who knows?
I imagined a scene where he quits because of how mean his boss was to him. And that's not in the movie at all. But I was like, oh, yeah. And there's going to be a point where he says, like, fuck you. Like, you are terrible. Like, you're terrible to me. I couldn't believe that wasn't in there.
Which is so interesting. But, like, I mean, I love this. I love Jada asking him, like, Miss Purdy. Come on, that name is crazy. Miss Purdy. You know, why didn't he tell her? And then, you know, we have this wonderful end. I really enjoyed this movie. You know what I mean? I thought it was, like, so fun.
The one thing that I thought was a little weird about it, but I don't know what should have happened, is, like, when there's, like, a handful of people up dancing, and among them is Sherman and Jada's character, you know, they're dancing. But then, like, when we cut to the mom and dad watching, there's also just, like, a crowd of people watching. So, like, people are just... are just standing off to the side, a bunch of people watching them dance in a way that's like, I don't think the dance was supposed to be.
Well, there would have been faculty there, right? And maybe they are just admiring.
Right, but like they're
yeah, it's a little
just
weird.
It felt
yeah, it's
weird.
Like, not,
you know,
a wedding, like, yeah.
Yeah, you might be sitting down at your table and you might look up and see, you know, but like, it's like, yeah, weird. It was weird.
But yeah, he gives a beautiful speech to at the end of saying, like, you know, I just realized, like, I you know, Drew, I was referencing it before of, like, I thought Buddy is who everybody wanted me to be, but, like, I need to learn, like, if I'm going to be with someone, I need to be with someone who accepts me for who I am. Like, I'm big. Like, I'm going to try to lose weight, you know. Like, he says, like, I don't think he says to be healthy, but, like, you know, he's implying, like, I understand, like, I can lose a little bit of weight, but I'm always going to be big. Like, I'm like, that's just who I am. And I need to be with someone who's like, accepts that for me. And I need to accept that for myself. He's like, more importantly, I need to accept that for myself, which was great. Yeah. It's just a lovely message and ending. And yeah. And we didn't bring up the, like, the other nightmare he had of him being like a giant person where the doctors were like, he keeps getting fatter, we can't stop it. But like, that was also like so intense. Yeah.
And I also have to say, like, in rewatching this movie made me think about how well this movie was crafted and how perfectly moments also just fit into a trailer to make you excited about the movie. You know, like, we know this is Nutty Professor and we know that it's about someone changing size, you know, and then there's a scene just in the trailer of him the size of a building walking through a thing. It's like, and not knowing the context for it, it was like a perfect marketing tool for the movie, and fits so well in the movie once you actually see it without it being, you know what I mean? Without it being like disappointing, like, oh, I saw it like that, you know? So well done.
What's interesting too is that, you know, a lot of people say I was watching some old movie and it's, I know they weren't doing this deep, but like people always talk about King Kong and like what King Kong was a metaphor for. And so the fact that they had a black dude actually be King Kong. Also, this was a fart joke that was hilarious. I care what no one says. When he farts and there's so much air and his dad is holding on like, that's my boy!
And grandma is on a, is hanging on a, on a,
like just swing, like
a,
she just,
yeah, swinging on a pipe. And then a man is like lighting a cigarette and the cop's like, No!
Fucking great. Oh, sorry, it was great.
Mushroom cloud explosion.
See, but this is the thing, Braid, that I think you just needed at the end when Buddy and Sherman was fighting, you just needed to see that basketball just like come through and just like bounce next to his feet. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Braid? Yeah, because Braid, because hit me out, Braid. It's
why
like,
are you talking
when that happens,
are you talking specifically to John?
I'm just talking to Braid because I know Braid. I just know Braid's a basketball fan, so it's like all of a sudden, the basketball comes in, and you're like, "Yo,
bit?
James, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking
Let
to Braid
talk
about
real
basketball.
Quick. Let me just talk to Hollywood. Real
James,
quick.
James, we're not doing this. James, this is not what we're doing.
Is an actor who is just
John,
who
I was
always
just trying
gives
to talk
110%
to you,
of his character.
I know you're
to
a basketball.
And I know he did Norman. I know Norman
I don't
has
talk
problems.
That fast.
But that doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve. Oscar, but Dream Girl.
See,
he did a great, incredible performance.
You need a Shaq to be like,
because he does the work that he does. That doesn't mean that you gotta give him.
Which I do
with
this. At this
push
banquet.
Him to the
all
side.
Shaq was
he
both of you
the Shaq
talking at the same time is
what do you mean?
It's extremely nutty, Professor.
Because it's we were all doing the bits.
Yep. And he did his.
Okay.
His.
Way to
he
kill some comedy. Yes. All right. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for The Nutty Professor.
My rating's up.
We can't
my
see you,
rating.
So I can't
up.
See you on my screen.
It's up.
Two,
it's up.
Three.
I'm right, assuming that's three black fists. Three black fists.
Oh, y'all can't see me. I gave two black fists.
I saw you.
So it was four black fists.
Oh, wait.
Fists.
Why
yeah,
can I
three
see
black
him?
Fists.
Am I going so slow I can't see him? That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I gave it a black fist. One, it did extremely well. It spawned a sequel that starred other black people. You got Dave Chappelle in it. You got Jada Pickett.
Yeah. You understand? I mean, I agree. I got...
All right. Great.
It's still funny to this day. Like, it's funny right now.
It's too funny. I couldn't believe how funny it still was.
Like, right now, this movie is fucking hilarious. Like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's it. What else do you want? What else do you want?
what do you want from us?
What do you want from me? What
Thank
do
you so
want
much
from me?
For listening to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Black Men Podcast. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise. We have links to many other things like our defunct Patreon, where we have a year's worth of episodes. Go there. We have a show. Is this?
It should be out. You should be able to promote it.
I don't know when this is coming out.
Wait, yeah, no. When is this episode? I think is coming out after the show. So we have a show coming up in February.
Oh, it's not until February?
Not until February. The January one, I think, falls on the holiday.
You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram. JohnBraylock.com is my website. Grownish is coming back in next year, January.
Hey. Uh-oh, Playboy. All right, Playboy.
Hey.
Another nine episodes. Check that out, I guess. I don't know. You guys?
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD. You can listen to my radio show, Corrupted Files, on the app AMP. It is Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's it, I guess. I ain't got nothing else.
I'm Draw Milligan. You can follow me at Draw Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. I have nothing to promote.
If you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. We finally have a new review. This is for April from Maryland.
Uh-oh, Maryland. All right, Maryland.
April says, big fan, love these guys. So I've been listening for years, and this is probably about to be long, so you may not want to read this on the pod. Well, we are. But these guys have such a good rapport, which makes this podcast a joy to listen to. They each have a funny bit that makes me chuckle every time. Although I think maybe Jonathan is giving up his title bit, but we'll see. I am. I'm just returning back to the pod for the Wakanda Forever episode because I do have a rule when it comes to BMCJ. If I haven't seen the movie, I don't listen because it's just not the same. It's not even about spoilers, which there will be, of course. It's just that the way these guys dive into themes of films, you're going to tune out unless you know what they're talking about. Well, that's the case for me anyway. So here I am returning to the movies after literal years to see Wakanda Forever, and I was just so touched by the cold open discussing grief. These three gentlemen give me so much hope. They are insightful and kind. They're feminists. Who wrote this? And of course, they spotlight films made by Black and Brown people, so they will forever be good in my book. If you've made it this far, I hope you'll get into their catalog. Like I said, if you've seen the film, you won't be disappointed in their commentary. They're the best. That is probably the best review we've ever got.
They called us feminists. They're
very kind. Yeah. That's very nice. I don't know what we're doing next week. Is there any new movies coming out?
Bruh.
No. All right. Well, we'll see you
next week.
Peace.
Forever. Dog. Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!